Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. In today's passage, we finally see justice served to the deceivers. The false prophet and the beast are finally thrown into the lake of fire. Those who deceive the people that God has created will be judged on that day. Vengeance is the Lord's. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 19 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 17 through 21.
God is sovereign. All power that exists is because of God's sovereign power. But notice, pride always precedes a fall. Even the horses will be eaten. What a graphic picture of total destruction, never seen on this planet. John says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth," verse 19, "and their armies gathered together." There they are, together. The global family. There it is. All of the talk that we hear politically, let's all come together. There they are, gathered together. For what purpose does the world gather together? To make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Where are they going to gather together? They're going to gather together in the plain of Jezreel, that valley in the northern part of Israel, known as the Valley of Megiddo, most famously known as Armageddon. They're gathered together. Well, when you piece together the Revelation and some Old Testament prophecies, there's at least 200 million men that have come from the east. We know that at this point in time, the Antichrist himself is storming into Jerusalem, seeking to secure his power base. According to Daniel chapter 11, the south, which would include the Pan-African nations and the Arab states banded together, also headed towards Israel, to which the northern armies come from Europe. They all converge together. You see, they're coming now against the nation of Israel, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem. But something happens as they're about to unleash this vicious attack. Their eyes are drawn to the heavens. And it's not a UFO. It's an IFO. It's an identifiable flying object. And that identifiable flying object is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They see one whose eyes are like fire, crowned with many crowns, riding on a white horse, leading an army out of heaven. And suddenly, there's a change in the military's orders. Now all the weapons of the earth's armies are turned on the one on the white horse. We're going to wipe out Jesus. We're going to get all of our nukes and dukes and anything else that you can think of, and we're going to wipe them out. Isn't that the desire of the world? That's been Satan's intention all along, hasn't it been, since the fall in the garden? Wipe them out. And yet Psalm 2, one of those near-far messianic psalms, certainly quoted as referring to the first coming of Christ, has as much to do with the second coming. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That word anointed in the Hebrew speaks of the Messiah, the Christ. And here's what they say: let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Imagine having all of the hardware of the military on earth combined facing at you and laughing. It's as if Jesus says, you got to be joking. You really think you can destroy me with those weapons? Then the Bible says, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Any nation, any church, any individual that defies or denies the lordship of Jesus Christ does so to their own eternal demise. You recall how in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 19, when the Assyrian king Sennacherib came into Israel with his mighty army to do harm to good King Hezekiah and his people, God sent one solitary angel to deal with them. And remember what happened? When the sun arose the next morning, all that was left of Sennacherib's army was 185,000 corpses. If that is the power of just one of God's angels, imagine the power of God. Next week, Lord willing, when we open up chapter 20 of the millennium, one angel binds Satan and puts him in a pit. Don't believe the lie that Satan is God's equal opposite. God has no equal. He has no opposite. Satan is a created being. He's a fallen angel. But God has no equal. Now, there is that mystery of iniquity that is going on right now that we can't explain. Paul writes about it. But God is on the throne. God is King of Kings. This is going to be a display of power by the Almighty. He's going to vex them in his wrath and in his sore displeasure. And when he does, verse 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. These both, that is the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So here you have two-thirds of the satanic trinity. You have the false prophet, and you have the beast. And in an instant, God takes them first. But I want you to note, beloved, that the kingdom of darkness possesses the ability to perform demonic miracles. Not everything that is supernatural comes from the kingdom of God. Revelation 13 speaks about these demonic miracles. Revelation 16 speaks about these demonic miracles. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The power of the enemy as an angel of light to deceive. He can work miracles. That's why the Bible gives us as the church the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of discerning, to test the Spirit, to prove all things, because not everything that is supernatural comes from God. And what does God do with these two individuals? The bodies of the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And as we will see next week, Lord willing, in chapter 20, they are the first of countless millions of unregenerate men and fallen angels who go to that eternal place of torment. a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom parables, therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's no party. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Torment. Endless, restless torment. It doesn't pay to be a rebel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, speaking to those on his left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. But note, prepared for the devil and his angels. Did we hear what Jesus said about this place of everlasting fire? Who was it prepared for? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And yet, millions of mankind ends up in this place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. How did this happen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 gives us the answer. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Think of this, saints. When an individual rejects the truth about Jesus Christ and his gospel, any and every philosophy or religion becomes fair game. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ over here or anything else over there. And when a person rejects Christ, the truth of Christ and the truth of his gospel, they will believe anything and everything. And isn't that true? When I see what people believe in who deny the truth of the scripture about Jesus Christ and his gospel, it's amazing. Recall how in the Old Testament, there were people who worshipped Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Can you imagine worshiping flies? Oh, the wickedness in the human heart when we reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a temple in India that is filled with rats, and people go there to worship them. You say, ew. But people worship cars. People worship sports heroes. You see, I think it was one of the reformers that said, the unregenerate man's heart is an idol factory. And when people do not bow the knee to Jesus Christ and his lordship, he or she will worship anything or anyone. It's fair game. And God will send a strong delusion to those who believe not the truth, that they might be saved. It's a sobering chapter, isn't it? The fact that the false prophet and the beast still appear in this horrible place, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, 1,000 years later, refutes the heresy of the annihilation of the soul. Hell is a real place. It's a real place. And I say with fear and trembling that those who go to this place are there forever. This is the eternal dwelling place for all and any that reject Jesus Christ and his gospel. Jesus spoke of it in Luke chapter 16. Talked about a rich man and then a beggar named Lazarus. And when they died, the rich man went to hell, and he was in torment. He was conscious of the fact that he was in torment. You ever heard the term hellfire and brimstone preacher? He's the guy. There he was, enveloped by hell and fire and brimstone, and he cries out and he says, "Please send someone to my five brothers. They don't want to come to this place." And Jesus said, if they will not hear the word of God, if they will not believe this is God's truth, neither will they believe if one rose from the dead. Do you believe this book? This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thus saith God. And when a person rejects this truth, the only destiny for him or for her is hell forever. Sobering. And the remnant, verse 21, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You may want to read Zechariah 14, the first 13 verses. As I said at the beginning, this isn't going to be really any war at all, as we think of war. There will be just a word spoken from the rider who sits on the white horse, Jesus Christ. Just a word. He's the same one who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence at the very beginning. That's power. He's the same one who spoke to a fig tree and it withered away. That's authority. He's the same one who spoke to the howling winds and the heaving waves and the storm clouds and vanished. And all the waves were stilled. Remember how the disciples marveled? He's the one who spoke to a legion of demons in a man and they instantly fled. And is this one, Jesus, who is speaking the gospel to any who are here this morning who are unsure of whether or not they are saved? He would say to you and to me that he died for our sins on the cross according to the scriptures, that he is buried and risen again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he is coming again. Paul the Apostle says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to all that believe. Do you believe that this morning? Belief unto life. If you or I repent and believe upon his name, Jesus, the last Adam, the quickening spirit, will give you eternal life. He'll do that. The same inspired word of God that so wonderfully describes his grace, his love, his goodness, and his mercy is equally plain in the revelation of the judgment of all and upon all who reject his gospel. Oh, I know that this is not an easy subject, but it's a biblical subject. It's one that we cannot ignore or deny or pass over. It's in Scripture. It's a truth that God wants us to know. There are so many times when people want to just emphasize the passages that deal with the love of God and ignore passages dealing with his righteous judgment. It's completely unjustified. You can't pick and choose which parts of Scripture you're going to teach on. All the counsel of God is his word. And the passages on judgment are just as inspired and just as accurate as those that speak of his grace. And the Bible is clear. The judgment awaits the wicked. The Bible is clear that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a judgment that's going to take place on this earth that will be unparalleled in Scripture since the time of Noah. The Bible is very clear, beloved, declaring that the time to repent of sin and trust in the atonement of Christ as full payment for our sin and to choose to follow Him is right now. It's right now. Choose this day whom you will serve, beloved. You make the choice. God provides the menu. Choose this day whom you will serve. When a person says no to Christ, they say yes to their own foolishness. They say yes to any and any delusion. They say yes to live in bondage. They say yes to misery. They say yes to judgment. They say yes to eternal damnation. There's no other way to slice that biblical pie. That's what happens if you and I believe our Bible. Sobering. Doesn't have to be that way. For you, doesn't have to be that way. And even today, even right now, if you are here and have never received Christ as your Lord, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 10 that the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him shall not be ashamed. That's you. That's me. Whosoever. You're a whosoever. You're not an it. You're a whosoever. If that's you today, we would love to pray with you after the service. Show you from the Bible what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. You can do that today. You can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that you're heaven bound. Amen? Amen. How about a little bit of encouragement for those who may not be born? You know that you're born again. Amen? Amen. You know you're saved. You know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because of you, in spite of you, totally because of Christ, His goodness, His grace, His obedience to the Father. He drank the cup. He bore the wrath that I deserve. He's done it. It's all Him. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. You can't save yourself. This church can't save you. A creed can't save you. Christ saves sinner. And He will do that today if you call out to Him with all your heart. The price has been paid. Let's receive that gift. Receive the gift this morning. I love the third and fourth stanzas of that Him, all hail the power of Jesus' name. It says, ye seed of Israel's chosen race, ye ransomed of the fall, hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can never forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. Do that today, saints. Crown Him Lord of all. Serve the Lord with gladness, beloved. Love one another fervently. Share the gospel and the word of God boldly. Amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question?
Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.